Now, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 8. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 8. I'll read a few verses, and then we'll back up and talk about a few of the verses that were previous. Certain truth, we've used it, and I'm sure everybody has. We've talked to someone in a matter of salvation. We've asked them what would it profit them if they gained the whole world and lose their own soul. And we'll look at that in the context tonight, because we find that when Jesus said this, he was saying it, it's almost like he was directing it toward his disciples, and I find that kind of strange, because certainly these men were saved. Now, we know Judas wasn't saved, but we know the rest of them were. They were saved. But it just seems strange to me that he would say it to these men. But I think he was trying to drive home an important truth to encourage them. The value that we have and the blessing that comes with following the Lord, and that any cost, anything that we give up, anything we sacrifice, anything we suffer is truly worth it. And the suffering can't even be compared to the glory that awaits. And so we see this. Jesus, in verse 34, we find when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever will save his life," this is verse 35 of chapter 8 of Mark, "for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall a Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God and the constant encouragement that we're given in the Scriptures, that following you, you've never promised us that it would be easy. You never promised us that it wouldn't be without trouble, but you have promised us that it would be worth it and more than anything that we could suffer. What the glory awaits is greater than any price we could ever pay here upon this earth. So God, we thank you. We thank you for your Son, and God, help us for these, thankful for these reminders. In Jesus' name, amen. Is it worth it? That would be the title tonight. Is it worth it? Many people get very discouraged trying to follow the Lord because sometimes it becomes difficult. Sometimes it doesn't seem like that there's much value in following the Lord here in this life. People suffer the same things that lost people suffer. They face the same type of adversity that lost people suffer. And sometimes we face more adversity than lost people suffer, because we're getting it not only because of this, our own sinful nature battling it, and because of the just natural calamities and problems that's in this world, but also we have a target on us because we are the people of God, and we have spiritual foes that fight against us even more so than they would lost people. So there's times that it would be easy to have this mentality. It's just not really worth it. And so I want to back you up and kind of pull together just a few things. Why did Jesus say what he said? Well, in verses 27 through 30, you see that these disciples, I want you to notice their confusion. The Bible says that, or their confession, sorry, we'll get to their confusion here in a second. But notice their confession. In verse 27, the Bible tells us Jesus went and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, "Whom do men say that I am?" Now, most time Baptists, we're going to go to Matthew 16 here, but I'm not doing that tonight. But and they answered, "John the Baptist. Some say Elias or Elijah, and others that, well, you're one of the other prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, and always bold and brazen, sometimes right, sometimes wrong. But here he was right. He said, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the anointed one. Thou art the Son of God. That's who you are." And he charged them that they should not tell man of him. Now, their confession. Now, here's the thing. You find they make this confession here, but publicly, boldly, they know who Jesus is. He's not just any teacher. He's not just, he's greater than Elijah. He's greater than anybody that's out there. He's not John the Baptist. So he tells them, they come to this very confessional truth, we might say. And from this point on, by the way, I want you to understand that Jesus, in the narrative of Mark, it's going to focus on Jesus going to Calvary. Now, why is that? Because Jesus is getting ready to explain something to them that they really didn't understand or really yet know. And even after he explained it to them, they still yet struggled with it. And what is that? They're ready for a particular secret. And what is that? Well, you look in verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. And put in mind, Jesus said, follow me. To follow him, to be his disciple, meant that you followed what he did. You did what he did. You went through the things that he experienced. And probably whatever he faced, you was going to face. So he tells them from this point on that he must suffer many things. And not only suffer many things, be rejected of the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed. And afterward, 3 days, rise again. I almost think they lost that part because they were so focused on what he said before about being rejected and by who he's being rejected about and to be killed by them. I think in their mind that it brought a lot of confusion, a lot of concern. And so that's the second thing. We see their confession, but we see their concern. The Bible tells us that as we look right here, but he turned about and looked on his disciples. Verse 32, look, and he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him. Now Peter takes him, said, and begins to rebuke him. Now I want you to get this picture. Peter begins to rebuke the Lord. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. So why were they so concerned? Obviously, they just confessed him as Christ. They just confessed him as the Messiah. Now, Jesus lets them in on a little secret that if you're going to follow me, I want you to understand this. What's getting ready to happen? I'm going to be rejected by our leaders. They're not going to receive me. But not only are they going to reject me, they're going to crucify me. They're going to kill me. They're going to kill me. And in their mind, why would this bring concern and confusion? Because in their mind, without a doubt, they're thinking, if you're the Messiah, you're the one that the Old Testament prophesied about, you should vanquish your enemies. If you're the one, then you should come and establish a glorious kingdom. This had to be troubling to their mind. How could this be? These things didn't reconcile in their thinking. Things just didn't add up. And so you see here, and you see this protest of Peter. Now why did Peter protest? Ignorance. Right? I mean, this was not a foresight. This is not a mistake by God. And the earthly kingdom wasn't because being established wasn't because of the Jews rejecting it. That's dumb to me to think that the cross was plan B. The cross was never plan B, it was plan A. And the kingdom was plan A as well. He established a spiritual domain and kingdom at this time. And so what they didn't, because they didn't understand some things, they were upset. And they're upset by this. And Peter begins to protest. And he protests out of ignorance. Said, this is not going to happen. He does it out of ignorance. I'll tell you another thing. He did it out of love. Think about this. He didn't understand maybe God's big scheme of things. A lot of us, honestly, we don't understand God's big scheme of things. We don't know why certain things happened in our life a week ago, 2 years ago. And we think we got it all figured out 5 years from now. We're fooling ourselves. Let me tell you something. Best thing is to trust God in this thing. Instead of trying to say, God, this is how it's going to have to be. No, you trust God. But he was upset because he loved Jesus. Nobody's going to do this to you. And by the way, I believe Peter intended to keep his word because he drew a sword. And when he cut that man's ear off, I don't think he was aiming for his ear. Right? I think he missed. And so we find that he did out of love. Now, it's G. Campbell Morgan that he said, a man who loved Jesus but shuns God's method is a stumbling stone. Think about Peter. 1 minute, Peter is standing up, thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God. It was his deep love for the Lord for the reason he did this. 1 minute, Peter's a rock, the next moment, he's a stumbling stone. And I found that to be true in my own life. There's lots of some moments in my life, man, I am it, I'm on it, and I'm somebody people can lean on, and in the next moment, I'm causing trouble for others where I shouldn't be. I get Peter, I understand him here. This was a theological problem for these men. But this was also something I want you to see, a practical problem for them. If they were to follow him, they knew whatever happened to him would most likely be their fate as well. So there was concern here as well. Not only was it love, but there was concern. Not theological, but it was a practical problem. Now, as you look right here, I want you to see the cross. Because they understood if there was a cross for him, if they were suffering for him, then guess what? There was suffering that was going to come their way. And so Jesus calls the people together and his disciples, and he says this, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now understand, they're getting ready to lose one. They know that Jesus is going to die. Now, I don't know if they even focus on the whole thing of him being resurrected. All they're seeing is cost here following the Lord. All they're seeing here is the hurt and the disappointment and the frustration. And in their mind, how can they prevent this? They don't want this to happen. And if this does happen, guess what? That don't mean things are going to turn out good for us either. So on the very practical level, they understand that suffering is ahead for them. So I believe it's appropriate to use these verses to witness somebody. What shall it profit a man? What would it profit you to gain the whole world and to lose your own soul? But it also can be used as a comfort to God's people to remind us of something. That all the world has to offer, it does not come in comparison for the glory that awaits. I mean, that's it. And I believe he wants to drive this thought home. And he talks about their cross. And you see this. What does he mean, their cross? Well, number one, he says that whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. So there is a cost. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. You've got to put him first, right? There is a self-denial. It's a daily denial about putting him first and picking up your cross daily. There's not only a cost, there's a cross. And the Bible says this, that you deny yourself and you take up his cross. Take up his cross. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Whose cross is it? Every one of us have a cross to bear that nobody else can bear. It's your responsibility in life. Whatever God has assigned to you, whatever God has given to you to accomplish in this life. And guess what? I'd say it has something to do with his kingdom if you're bearing a cross. And so what he wants out of you, yes, it's a responsibility that comes with suffering. There's no doubt about it. It comes with duty. It comes with inconvenience. He doesn't make it cheap. And that's the problem with a lot of Christianity today. We try to make it cheap. But there's a cost. It's self-denial. It's not about ourselves. It's about him. It's about him being the number one in our life. Then there's a cross. There's this responsibility we must carry for him. But there's also, we see this very concern. And what is our ultimate concern? The Bible says you pick up this cross and you follow me. So what am I to do with my cross? You're to follow Christ. With the responsibilities that God has given your life, whatever he has called you to do, how do you accomplish it successfully? You do it by following him. And I think Paul probably summed it up in a way that without a lot of commentary or explanation by Brother Grant tonight, but just simply reading the book of Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians 3. In the first 6 verses, Paul talked about how that he gave some warning. But he also talked about, starting at verse 4, how that if anybody had reason to be confident in the flesh, the things they accomplished in this life and done, it was me. And he gives his pedigree, and it's a good one. But he says this. Why? Because what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He says this. What were gained to me, those things I counted lost for Christ. Those things that the world and my peers I grew up with said are things of great value, they're nothing. Absolutely nothing. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now remember back in the text. What shall it profit a man? No, but he says this, whosoever come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So we see it very clearly. There's a cost, there's a cross, and there's concern. The concern is to always keep our eyes on the Lord. And Paul continues in the book of Philippians, and he says, yeah, doubtless, in verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I've suffered the loss of all things. I don't know what all things Paul suffered and lost. I don't think they're even all listed in the Scriptures. But do count them but dung. I just count them as waste, that I may win Christ. Why? Because what should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? He said, be found in him, not having my own righteousness. That's all I could have, and all those other things I could ever attain, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And that's a better deal. And why do I do these things? Why? What should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection? And notice this, and the fellowship of his sufferings. He wanted to know what it was to suffer for Christ and to go through life. He wanted to know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. I believe he wanted to die in a way that would give God glory, that he would be conformed even more to the image of him. If by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, not that I've already arrived, not that I've already got there, not that I've already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend. I mean, I may capture that which I'm apprehended or been captured by. I want to capture this thing. I want to have victory in this thing that we have in Christ Jesus, which apprehended of Christ. I've been saved. I understand that. So, understanding that from that perspective, Paul's desire was all these things that the world valued and that his culture valued and he would value as a Jew was nothing. It was nothing. Because what would it profit him to have all those things and have the accolades of man, the praise of man, the prestige of man, and something built in his honor? What would it profit him to do all that and to lose his own soul? None of it. None of it. There's no profit in any of that. None whatsoever. And so he says, take up your cross and follow me. Paul said, I want to know him. That was his concern. His concern went about how many churches he's going to start. I'm writing back and telling all the statistics. His concern was to be close to God. You get close to God, a lot of those things take care of themselves. You see? That's what his concern. He wanted to know what it was to suffer with him. He wanted to know what it was to die in a way that would bring him glory. That's what Paul was. That was his concern. I want to follow him. I want to know him. And that's what you do when you follow him. So let me move on with this. I want you to see verse 35. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. This is the motivation we see here. What is our motivation? He said, who shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Well, you see that what I'm looking right here. The truth of the matter is many people, they strive about and just want to see what they can attain for themselves. And it's about what I can get, what I can do. But here's what he said it's about. It's not about you. And if you lose yourself for mine, and here's how you do that. Here's what your motivation is. If you're going to lose your life in order to follow me, it's got to be about my sake and the gospel's. And if you do that, you save your life. Because when you put him first, and it's about Christ, and it's about getting the gospel out, people be saved, guess what you ultimately do? The Bible says you'll save your life then. In other words, you'll get what's really important, what's the most important here. And so discipleship is a matter of profit and loss. Now notice this. He says, "For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange of his own soul?" So it's a matter of profit and loss. It's about what do we value? Are we in love with the things of the world or the things of God? Are we in love with what we want to do or what God wants to do through us? What shall profit a man? What should it be? There's a cross for you to bear. There's a cost that comes with this. Your concern is to follow him. The motivation is simply this. It's my sake and the gospel's. And when it's my sake and the gospel's, you'll begin to understand that there is no profit in gaining anything this world has to offer. That the most important thing is to follow me. And if you lose everything, guess what? It's nothing. Because you see, when we look here, you can gain the world or you can gain the things of God. What is worth the value of a soul? What's the value of your soul? You see, you may tell you why people die lost, that's heard the gospel. It's because they're inattentive. You know why we lose things? I mean, I know about losing things with ADD, ADHD, or I mean, I can walk from here to there and lose my boots, okay? I mean, ask my wife, she's about ready to drive her crazy. She's trying to get ready today, and I started out the door, and I had my hands full of stuff, and I went out without my keys. She locked me out. She went and blow dry her hair, and I went and beat on the window in the bathroom, and scared her to death, and there she is with a gun. And so I go and I think that about gun, and I thought, oh man, I left my phone. So now I have my keys. I go in and grab stuff, and guess what? She hears me in there again. And she said, "Hardwick, are you trying to get shot today?" Okay? I get it. I look, you know why? Because I ain't paying attention. I ain't paying attention sometimes while I lose things. And other times, I'll tell you why I don't. I lose things is because I'm attentive to other things. Why people lose their souls? Because they're inattentive to the things of God. They're not paying attention. Don't hold any value, no interest. Or they're attentive to the things of this world. They're so focused on it that they don't hear what God's saying. These guys right here, Jesus is wanting their attention. He wants them to understand, yeah, I'm the Messiah. Yeah, I am the Son of God. Yes, I am. And yes, I am going to die. And you know very likely that there's suffering ahead for you. I've told you this. And he had told them that if they follow him, there is tribulation ahead for them. They understood that very clearly. So what he's saying, guess what? I want you to understand that it's worth it. Anything that you face for following me, anything that you lose for following me is worth it. Because the world itself, if I could give you the world, it wouldn't even come close to what you're getting ready to get when you die. Think about that. It's pretty simple, isn't it? What shall man give in exchange for his soul? So let me give you a warning. If you're here and you're lost tonight, you could owe millions of dollars and you die lost. All that money means nothing. Everything you possibly have would not be worth you dying lost. I'd repent. I believe the gospel. And it says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and his holy angels." Our Lord comes back. He's going to be ashamed of them. And so what's the value here? You see, let me just tell you something. Why would you be ashamed of the Lord? Maybe the problem was they didn't understand. Just like the disciples on the road to Damascus, Jesus explained to him that the Messiah would have to enter into suffering before he entered into glory. Let me tell you the reason people are ashamed of the Lord. Because the devil comes along and here's what he promised you. He promised you glory. He promised you joy. He promised you all these things. But what you really end up with is suffering. In the end, you lose. Jesus comes along and he didn't do that. He promised you suffering from the start. But he promised you glory in the end. Now you see that? I believe that he said it in a way to encourage them, to make them focus on what was really important. And you know what we need to be reminded of from day to day and time to time? We need to be reminded what's really important in this life. That we'll keep our attention on the right things, not feel sorry for ourselves, and that we stay busy, because it's all about Christ and it's all about the gospel. And we get that right, boy, it takes care of a lot of things in our life. And we're willing to pick up that cross. We're willing to pay the cost. We're willing to follow Him, whatever it may be. Father, thank You for this reminder in the Word of God, and help us to be attentive to it, just as Your disciples needed to hear it on that day. I believe there's a great message for the lost, but there's also a message for everybody here that's saved by the grace of God. God, that it's worth it. It's absolute. I hear people get frustrated with things and individuals, and they think there's no worth in following You. Oh God, how mistaken they are. How they need to pay attention to this. This wasn't just for the lost. It was a reminder of the glory that's ahead. And God, the great value and the worth of what Jesus accomplished on Calvary. And Father, I'm thankful for that. And God, I'm thankful for that we can lean upon Him. And God, we do pray for anyone that may be here that's lost tonight. May they, if they leave here, may it stay in their head. What should it profit them if they gain the whole world and they lose their own soul? May that stick with them. We pray it in Jesus' name.